people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Let us pray. God our Father, in this season we are so aware of darkness which has increased. We wake in the morning to darkness, and very soon it seems to encroach upon all our lives. And we are conscious also of a darkness that exists in the world at large, a darkness caused by violence and hatred and twisted ideology. And we have to be honest with ourselves also and say that there is a darkness within each one of us which has contributed to the unease in relationships, to disturbance within our families, to tension within our church and within other places where we gather with people. And so we come to you today in the knowledge that a light has shone in the midst of our darkness, that Jesus has come into our humanity and made it possible for us to believe that we can be forgiven, that we can begin again, even when we are bowed low with a sense of our own failure. And so we ask that as we approach this Advent season, that we would see this as an opportunity to turn more firmly to his ways, to open our inner being more decisively to his light, and by his grace to go forward as people who seek to realize his great aspiration for us, that we ourselves should be the light of the world. And we pray all of this in his name and for his sake. Amen. We read together now in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1 at verse 18. Reading to the end of the chapter. Following the theme today, friends, of God's gift to me as an individual. This is Matthew's account of Jesus' birth. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thanks be to God for his word, and may he give us grace to grasp more of his truth for our discipleship today. Now let's pray. God our Father, we give thanks to you that even in the most difficult days, we can turn towards your word, to know your presence and to feel the power of your truth. And we pray that in these quiet moments with your word now, you would renew our vision of who you are and all that you have done for us through your Son, Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, I don't know how far back your Christmas memories go, folks, but I seem to have a very firm impression in my mind of a Christmas. And It was definitely before I went to school, so I must have been about 3 or 4 at the time. And I remember all the preparations that were made. The letter was sent up the lum. We don't do that these days. Maybe email Santa now. Is that what happens? But the letter went up the lum, and there was a carrot prepared for the reindeer, and a glass of milk for Santa. I ignored my big brother's advice that perhaps he would like something else to drink. But all the preparations were made, and the pillow slip was hung over the end of the bed. None of your Christmas stockings for a wee pollock boy. And I remember becoming really quite excited about the whole thing, but falling asleep actually quite quickly. And then I wakened up and went down to the end of the bed, and there was nothing in the pillow slip. And I searched under the bed and behind some cupboards and in a wardrobe as well, and there was nothing. Not even a new woolly annual. I was completely bereft of any Christmas cheer, so I thought I'd better take this to my mother. And I was in a very distraught state, as you can probably imagine. But when I found her in the front room with the rest of the family, I was informed that I'd wakened up too early. That it wasn't midnight yet, and that Christmas was still to come. But it's that feeling, you know, of expectation and, you know, so much promise you have in your mind, and then you're confronted with the emptiness. You know, it was quite a powerful feeling for a wee boy. And I always remember speaking to a young girl some years ago who told me that every single Christmas day she had that feeling of emptiness. A feeling that something wonderful was going to happen, and yet it never did. And so she said that Christmas Day was always a day when she cried, even though she might have had loads of presents and family round about her. She always expected that something special was going to happen, but she was always disappointed. And this is why we have to stay close to the message that's at the very heart of our Christmas celebrations. And this is why services like this are important. You know, there are so many legends and myths that surround this time of year, and some of you have heard me ranting and raving about this in the past. And it's important for us to get to the very heart of what the birth of Jesus is all about. And if we can do that, if we can stay close to the message, then we understand that something special has happened in the history of humankind. An event which is unparalleled in human history. And if you stay close to that, not just at this time of the year, but every day of our lives, then there will never be that feeling of emptiness. There will never be that feeling that things have not been fulfilled in a meaningful way. And this is what we're really seeking to explore over these next few weeks up to Christmas. Just what has happened when God gave us the gift of his son Jesus. And from the reading that we shared earlier, it's quite clear that this gift was given according to a plan that only God could have made. This was a gift that came from Almighty God, the one whose being can never be contained by any of our thoughts or any of our imaginings. This was something which unfolded according to a plan that only God could make. You know, those verses, verse 22 of our reading, where we're told that everything that happened, you know, the birth of Jesus, it all took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel. Now that was about 700 years before Jesus was actually born. But intimation was given to the people of Israel that at a particular moment in history, the Messiah, the Anointed One, God's Son, would emerge from their people. And actually, you know, intimation of this went back even further. Because at the very moment when the world started to go wrong, God proclaimed to humankind that there would come a day when a member of the human race would crush the head of the serpent, would deal the death blow to evil, to sin, and to death. That there would come a moment when the light would shine in the midst of humanity's darkness. And that was the message that the prophets ran with all the way through the history of Israel. That there would be this time of great upheaval, when the cry of a baby would be heard in a small town in Israel, and human history would never be the same. And you know, someone once said that first cry of Jesus, although perhaps we can remember the first time we heard one of our children cry, that very, very profound moment. But you know, someone once said that when the cry of the infant Jesus was heard, that was a battle cry. That was intimation to the darkness that humanity would no longer be defined by sin and by death. Because God was building a new world, and he was beginning with the minds and the hearts of humankind. The light shines in the darkness, says the Apostle John, and the darkness has never overcome it. It began at that moment when God, according to his plan, gave the gift of his Son to us. And that leads us to think of the means whereby God gave us the gift. It was through a means that only he could provide. It was a plan only he could make, through a means that only he could provide. We're told that this baby who was to be born to Mary was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. This child was human, but his conception and his birth came about through the action of God's Holy Spirit. The work that needed to be done was work that could only be done by a human being, but not just any human being. The work of salvation for humankind had to be done by God's Son. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, gives us some idea of what this cost God. Because he tells us that in the end, God did not spare his Son, but gave him up. You know, there's that feeling of something that's very, very close to God, something that's very, very precious to God. And he's willing to give this up for our sake, for the sake of every individual gathered here this morning. And it's important for us to grasp this. Friends, you know, when so often through the history of the church, people have tended to devalue who Jesus was, to say that he was only the Son of God through adoption, after he had done everything that God asked him to do, or that he was only the Son of God and that he was a supreme example to us of how we should live our lives. But the scriptures tell us that he was the Son of God from the beginning. That at the moment of his conception, he was the Son of God. It's interesting, actually, when you look at the four Gospels, and you see that Mark begins Jesus' story with his ministry. And then you go to Matthew, who begins Jesus' story with his birth. And then Luke, he begins the story with Jesus' conception. But then you go to John, and where does he begin? He begins in eternity, where the Son existed with the Father. And at this moment, this supreme moment in human history, the Word, the Son, became flesh and lived amongst us. That he is higher than any other we've been singing. And that's because of his nature. Yes, he was born as one of us. But he was the Son of God, the only one who was capable of fulfilling the work of salvation that needed to be done. There was an incident in a big piazza in Madrid recently where a homeless man turned up and he was a bit of a mess. You know, he's got a lot of facial hair, his hair was all ragged, he looked a bit overweight, and he had a wee dog with him in a chair. He sat down in the chair for a wee moment, and then he, out of a bag, he produced a ball, football, and he started to juggle with this ball. He was doing incredible things. You know, things that, you know, I used to try but never quite could pull off. And some people were interested, they were watching him, you know, and others kind of joined in but then moved on. But this one wee boy who stuck to him, and they were passing the ball and flicking it up, and the homeless man was showing the wee boy how to do various tricks. And at the end of it all, the guy picked up the ball and asked the wee boy his name. And you can actually see this on YouTube if you're interested. He asked the wee boy his name and said his name was Nicholas. So the fella signed the ball, gave it to the wee boy, and then took his hair off, it was a wig, and took the beard off as well, and the dark glasses. It was Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the greatest players in the world, played for Real Madrid. And the wee boy's face, I mean, I can just imagine, you know, and that ball will be cherished, you know. But you know, that there's a parable there for about Jesus, you know, came into the world. And John tells us, nobody recognized him, the son of the you know, God walked the streets of Nazareth, of Jerusalem. People nailed him to a cross and then went back to their work. But some people responded to him and they were given the right to call themselves children of God. But that's just what we have to remember about Jesus. Yes, veiled in flesh, but we look at him and we see our God. So the gift is given according to a plan that only God could make, through a means only he could provide, and for a purpose that only he could accomplish. Now, the angel said to Joseph, you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, we're used to referring to Jesus as our Saviour, but are we absolutely clear why he is our Saviour? Is it because he's the supreme example of humanity, and if we follow his ways, then we're turning our backs on the darkness? But I think that's part of it, but there's something deeper going on here. Because if there's anything wrong in the world, remember our God is a God of justice. And when things are wrong in the world, there's a price to be paid for this. Now, there are things wrong with all of our lives. And standing in the presence of God as we are, we could never survive. He's a holy God. He's a just God. He has to react against everything that's wrong. But then someone emerges who stands in our place, who takes upon himself the full blast of God's judgment for everything that's wrong in our lives. He clothes us in righteousness even as he takes our sin upon himself. That is why he is our Saviour. And don't let anyone talk you out of that. That's the only reason why he's our Saviour. Because he stood in for us. And he's taken the blast that we ourselves deserve. That's why we can sing, we stand forgiven at the cross. What was the great transaction? The great transaction was that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. Oh, I mean, me, the righteousness of God. That's the promise. If we trust in this great message that we're focusing on at this Advent season. The hymn says that he was born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. And that's the key to having a fulfilled Advent and Christmas season, to focus on that message, to actually believe these well-known carols that we're singing. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the message of his heaven. No ear can hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, the dear Christ enters in. Let's pray. God our Father, we give thanks to you for this great message and for the one who is at the centre of the message, our Lord Jesus. We ask that throughout this season, no matter what is happening in the world, no matter what is happening in our community, no matter the circumstances that break into our lives, that we will focus on him and realise that in him we receive the greatest gift ever. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.